Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number three on a Taco Tuesday. I'm not even sure where the first 2 hours went. But listen, we're going to jump into a topic right now that is, it is weighty, but it is necessary. It is complex, but yet it's also really simple if you get down to it, because there are some things that are just wrong on their face, and you have to address them. And I'm thankful for the fact that we have people out there who will address them. I gotta quickly, before I bring a guest on, is tell you there's a story that came out just a couple of days ago on 1819 News in Bibb County, Alabama. So what I'm telling you about is a story that is not from out there somewhere. It's here in Bibb County, Alabama. A 29-year-old guy named Andre Trejo Velasquez of Brent, which is a community in Bibb County, was charged with 6 counts of first-degree human trafficking. We don't know where he's from or whether he's legal or status or not. It didn't matter. The bottom line is he was trafficking children for sex. These children, the victims, ranged in age from 2 to 10. 2 to 10. At the tender ages of 2 years old up to 10 years old, this guy is making money off of trafficking them to people who will also be perpetrators and participate in the crime. It's pretty sick. There's a lot of other things that are extraneous to this, like drugs and alcohol, mental condition, family ties, all of it in this guy's background. Doesn't matter. What we have now is a human trafficking nightmare in our country. And it's also here. Somebody who knows that extremely well and has got a background in helping to deal with it and to deal with the victims is Nicole Wilson. She has a business called Fortify Alabama, which is doing great work, and they specialize in addressing it through prevention, intervention, and support. And she's on the phone right now. Nicole Wilson, how are you doing?
Hey, Phil. Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for making time for us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Listen, I think it's also really important that people not only recognize this as a problem, but it's a problem in our own backyard. And so you started Fortify Alabama because it's here in Alabama.
Right, yeah. You know, 3 years ago, I had never even had a conversation about human trafficking. I had no idea what it was, what was going on. And I don't believe in coincidences. I like to call them God winks. But through a series of those winks and open doors, I found myself leading a group called Trafficking Hope through Church of the Highlands that was focused on education and awareness. But the more that I learned and the more that I saw, it really didn't take me long to realize that we need to do more in our community. So I decided to go more boots on the ground, and that's how Fortify was established, to still focus on education and awareness, bringing out people from that bubble, but also to help address the problem itself.
Well, so when Fortify Alabama does its work, I mean, what are you doing? Give us a day in the life of Fortify Alabama as an organization. What exactly are, because what I think is important is you just said something that everybody in our listening audience needs to grab hold of, is that you had one of those moments where you were just kind of involved with something through your church. It has grown now to where you have your own 501c3. You are running it. You have a board of directors, and you're doing work. But what does work look like for you?
Right. So we do. We have the prevention side of it, which is the education and awareness that you briefly touched on. And the awareness is just the awareness booth.
Oh, did we lose her? I tell you what, maybe we can get her right back. I will tell you this, Nicole and her group do amazing work. I remember one of the things that I think it was her I was talking to is that, and JP, yeah, if she comes back on, just give me the thumbs up. I think he's getting it right now, is that they find the victims at all kinds of places where you and I might be going and not even realizing it's happening right next to us. Got her back on the line. Nicole, you back?
Yeah, sorry about that. Dropped on me.
That's okay.
Yeah, so we also do training and educational workshops with companies, churches, anybody who will listen. We have an annual Fortify Alabama Anti-Human Trafficking Conference where we bring together experts and law enforcement community members to just share the knowledge, best practices, things like that. We offer CU credits for that. But when we get into the intervention side of it, that's going to be more, we focus on motel outreach. So we're actually going to the motels and passing out roses to the women, trying to have conversations with them. We even talk to the traffickers. And then we also start getting into online outreach, which is where we are using a software basically to reach out to the escort ads themselves and just start trying to start up a conversation to see if the women would like resources, prayer, anything like that. And then the last side of it is our support side. And that was one that I learned really early on, but it surprises a lot of people, is animal support. So a trafficking victim, much like a domestic violence victim, will not leave their situation if there is a loved pet involved. Mm-hmm. They're afraid that their trafficker, their abuser, will harm or kill the animal. So in order to remove that barrier, we've partnered with local rescues to take in those animals.
Wow. And then you don't think about that kind of stuff. You'd almost like to believe they're desperate to get out and they'll leave at a moment's notice. But sometimes they're so beaten down that the pet that's there is their only lifeline to normalcy. And so you're saying they won't leave sometimes because of that.
Yeah. I mean, that pet loves them unconditionally. So it's just another way to kind of trap them in their situation.
I saw a statistic on your website that said on the average, it takes 5 to 7 times for a victim to get out of their trafficking situation. What does that mean?
Yeah, so it can take a lot depending on the situation. You know, you're just planting seeds, especially with the motel outreach. It could take multiple attempts for them to realize that they should leave that situation, or they will try to leave that situation and then they'll run away, whether it's because of drugs, trauma bonding. There's multiple scenarios of why they would run away and not stick to the restoration part of their healing.
So you don't think about it, but there's different kinds of trafficking. There's sex trafficking, obviously, and there's labor trafficking. Do you see that in your work?
We do. We see some labor trafficking. We've helped with a couple of cases, and that one, you know, it's tough because there's a lot of language barriers with that one. So we don't have enough translators, honestly, to even touch labor trafficking the way that it should be assisted.
Which one in our area, just for this listening area alone, which one do you think is more prolific, the labor trafficking or the sex trafficking?
We're probably seeing more labor trafficking, honestly. At least the labor trafficking is more in your face. You know, and one example that was given to me with labor trafficking is if you ever go to one of those intersections, and I'm not saying this is every single circumstance, but when you go to those intersections and there's people with buckets and they're asking for money, a lot of times those are labor trafficking situations where they have to make a certain quota of what money that they have to bring back before they can get food or a bed to sleep in that night or whatever the case may be. So those situations, not always are they raising money for an organization or a church. They're actually being trafficked to work in those and ask for money on those intersections.
And how much of this do you see with kids versus somebody over the age of majority? Is this, and I know that sex trafficking, like I just read out the story, the 1819 News has another one of those heinous stories about children as young as 2 being trafficked right here in Alabama. But in your work and your experience, or for that matter, just in relating to other organizations like yours, how much of what we're seeing right now is children and how much is adults?
You know, we see on our line more adults, which honestly, to be frank, I'm thankful for, because the child side of it is really tough to see. We have seen a couple of circumstances with child labor trafficking where they were teenagers. You know, it's not the extreme where you're seeing that 2-year-old to, you know, 10-year-old phase. Now, I will say when it comes to child trafficking a lot, The worst statistic, in my opinion, is how much of it is familial trafficking, which they average around 40% is trafficking cases for children are through a family member. And 50% of that is their mothers doing it.
Wow. So you're talking about kids, you're talking about being farmed out for sex, or you're talking about farmed out for labor? What are you saying?
Bit of both. Oh, but mostly both. When they're talking about that, they're talking about sex.
Well, okay, we got a couple minutes left here with just you and I talking, but one of the things that really shocked me was when I read something that said that truck stops are a major hub for trafficking. I had never dawned to me, and this has been years ago now, obviously, but it had never dawned to me that when I stop at a truck stop for gas and I go inside to get a cup of coffee, and I don't realize what may be happening out there in that vast yard full of 18-wheelers that could be involving trafficking or sex trafficking or anything else. But what are the hubs? What are the places that people should be aware of? And I know that sometimes it's see something, say something. What do you recommend people, you know, be aware of in certain locales?
Yeah, I mean, the motels are a popular hub. You're going to see also, like you said, with the trafficking or the trucking stops. Honestly, with sex trafficking, most of the business is being handled online now, which makes it really difficult to spot out in the world. So a lot of it is handled through escort ads or personal ads. So that technology piece has made it very difficult for people to track and to try to help in those situations.
In Alabama, are there any hotbed areas? Do you see it more in rural? Do you see it more in big cities? What do you tend to see?
Yeah, I mean, the big cities are really bad. Huntsville, for example, where we're stationed, is kind of that Bermuda Triangle because we're getting a lot of trafficking through Nashville, Atlanta, and Birmingham is just funneling it through the highways. So, and then another circumstance would be our strip clubs, too. They're a hot spot for trafficking.
Well, and in some of these, you might almost like expect it in a sense. But I think the other thing that people have to be aware of is that sometimes you might see something in a diner, in a restaurant, a kid buying medical supplies at a convenience store, and it just doesn't feel right. And I guess what I'm saying is I would encourage our listeners to see something, say something. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, Nicole, thank you for Fortify Alabama. Thank you for what y'all do. I'm going to be spending some time unpacking this topic a little further, but appreciate your work, and you're welcome back on the show anytime, all right?
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Okay, thank you. That's Nicole Wilson. And by the way, they do have a website, fortifyalabama.com. Has all their stuff on there. And yes, she's based out of Huntsville. We actually met, I've forgotten what big dinner we were at, and it was Allie from Athens who actually introduced me to her. So one of our listeners introduced me to the person you just heard. And that's, it's an amazing amount of, it's like there's the never-ending level of work to be done on the issue. We'll take a break. We'll come right back. We'll talk about it in more detail. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.